This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
1851 on Power Business, and now we are joined by the Steel and Engineering Industries Federation of Southern Africa, their Chief Operating Officer Tafaza Chibunguza joins us now to speak to us about, you know, the state of the sector, especially as load shedding continues to wreak havoc on, you know, the sector's potential to reach its, you know, its optimum, but also the investment that is being lost as a result of it. So Tafaza, good evening. Thank you so much for speaking to me again.
Good evening, Alitando. Good to be speaking to you again and to be on your show. Thanks for having us.
All right, Tafaza, let's talk about, you know, the sector and how it's faring. Maybe give us a snapshot right now of how load shedding is really impacting the sector. Maybe we can start with demand side pressures and then we can go with supply side pressures.
All right. So the sector is, domestically, the sector supplies into the construction sector, the mining sector, automotive, petrochems. That domestic demand is about 60% of total demand, and then we export about 40% of total output. Now, in this slower global economic environment, largely driven by the interest rate hike, which is really causing a slowdown in economic growth, we are seeing a slowdown in demand pressures across the board. So that's on the demand side. And then on the supply side, which for us is what we are highlighting as the most prevalent risk, is the electricity crisis, which is affecting a sector in which electricity is a fundamental input to the functioning of the sector. And this electricity crisis, which we will unpack some of the numbers with you, but in essence, this is this energy crisis is the most prevalent risk affecting the supply side of the sector.
Yes, let's talk about those numbers, Tafaza. What are your models about what load shedding is doing to the potential of the steel and engineering sector?
All right, Nolisandro. So we started off the year, in fact, about just under a month ago with the first set of numbers that we had run. And in there, we had looked at those demand side and supply side pressures that I've already highlighted to you. At that time, the numbers were producing a base case scenario of a production contraction of 2.2% for this year. And then subsequent to that, we were tasked by our board to do this load shedding impact assessment. And I must say, the results from it have really been alarming. And now plugging in some of the production declines, I mean, just to give you a sense, over the last 12 months that we ran this survey, companies are recording production declines as deep as in total about 34%. They're talking the production decline. So when we now factor those production declines into our model, that deteriorates our forecast for 2023 to about minus 5.3 contraction for this year. And that's primarily driven by load shedding as the main driver for that decline.
And then there's definitely a jobs factor. So talk to us about what's happening with jobs in the sector. So we know that, of course, jobs are at risk and the sector isn't able to hire the number of people that it could possibly hire. Also keen to find out about the multi-stakeholder, relations that you might have with some unions. This is a highly unionized sector. And, you know, how that is faring in terms of engaging the government with stuff like load shedding. You know, something like load shedding really wreaks havoc on the sector. Jobs just won't survive.
Jobs won't survive at all, Nolutando. In fact, if you look back, if I can just throw a historic stat which will give the context of the current jobs numbers. So the sector, the numbers I mentioned, the contraction is 2023. But from 2008 till now, the sector has been on a multi-year contraction at recording at about 1.2% on a compound annual basis. And unfortunately, what we've seen is that the jobs numbers have actually followed that pattern. This sector employed in excess of 400,000 people pre-2008, and now we are down to about 217,000. That's blue collar workers I'm talking. So it just gives you a sense of the complete shedding of jobs. We are, as you correctly said, this is a very highly unionized sector. CIFSA also is very involved in that in the negotiation process of conditions of employment. But even the unions themselves, they are recording multi-year declines in their union membership as well as employment. So, if anything, this should be a call for government to step up, you know, and support the sector. Purely just given the extent of the jobs bloodbath contributing to the higher unemployment rate in the country.
And then we must talk also, you know, about the issue of South Africa's slow infrastructure project rollout, which is something that even the construction sector has been lamenting this for years. And, you know, we've seen some companies have to leave South Africa altogether in order to survive. So let's talk about that. You know, would, you know, rapid infrastructure spend really assist to balance out, you know, some of the difficulties and the challenges that the sector is seeing?
It actually would, Nolutando. And we've often made the point that, you know, as a sector, and I guess all sectors, but our sector is either a victim or a beneficiary of global economic trends. And in that sense, we can't influence, for example, the outcome of Russia-Ukraine, but we are influenced by it negatively. But on the domestic front, we have a massive opportunity to unleash our policy tool set, in this case being infrastructure spend. That's a domestic policy choice where through the government, they choose to then roll out a massive scale infrastructure program, which our sector would be a direct beneficiary of, given that we supply about 20% of total sales to the construction sector and across the board, across other infrastructure programs as well. So what that would do for the sector is create a base load demand, if you like, for the sector's demand. And then in terms of, depending on what happens internationally, positive or negative, that's really just a top up. But as some of our members would say, domestic demand would really help us just to pay the lights and water domestically here.
And then you guys also export a lot of steel and lots of you know, engineering products, and that's through to the African continent. Talk to us about that export market and how that's faring, you know, in terms of just also being able to meet demand, considering that the globe at large, Safazwa, is speaking about, you know, difficult economic conditions.
So on the export side, you're correct. So I mentioned of total sales, we export 40%. And then half of that actually goes into the African continent. So that is our that's the structure of our demand side, including the export market. What we are seeing, there's two issues. There's the demand side issues where we see that in sub-Saharan Africa, one common classification of countries there is, and we know, unfortunately, poor fiscal management does put some of these countries in very precarious fiscal positions. So in a world of rising interest rates, you then see those countries that had financed their debt on hard currency are starting to buckle under pressure. Ghana is one case in point where we are seeing some pressures there, and we're seeing pressures across the board. So what we are seeing is that although the markets are fairly robust coming off a low base and do offer some good potential demand, the fiscal vulnerabilities do affect their demand. So that's what we are seeing. But the one good side about that export market is that predominantly with it being into sub-Saharan Africa, a lot of that, the exporting routes are inland or overland. So what then that does is it takes out the Transnet inefficiency, Transnet inefficiencies, and the ability of the the sector to export. That Transnet impact really comes into seaborne trade, where ports and the rest are now included. But that inland trade is then facilitated through overland, which creates a buffer for us to continue to supply there. But of course, there's demand side issues from a fiscal vulnerability that I've highlighted.
Well, Tafaza, always a pleasure catching up with you. And thank you so much for painting the picture of the steel and engineering sector, which is also engaging with unions, really trying to prioritize jobs there. That is Tafaza Chibanguza. He is the Chief Operating Officer of the Steel and Engineering Industries Federation of Southern Africa. 7 p.m. on the dot. Band is going to be on standby.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.